Tonight, God's willing, we are going to meditate actually about a comparison between our parenting and the parenting of the good shepherd regarding 10 characters of parenting. And what's new in that, after I will discuss these 10 characters of parenting, you will take a questionnaire. And in each character of the 10, you are going to see yourself in the way you were parented. And in the way your spouse is perceiving you, and the way your children are perceiving you. So actually we are comparing 3 generations in the family relationship. So you will find in each character a question which you are going to answer either never, sometimes, most of the times, always, and you will see that clearly when the questionnaire will come to you. And you will add a score and you will know your need to improve your parenting skills or to continue the good work. Whereas you are going to see in the questionnaire, some of us need an emergency room ward if we reach certain score which really needs counseling. I asked for a PowerPoint about the Good Shepherd to be seen. Did you see anyone? The PowerPoint for the Good Shepherd. You are going to look to the Good Shepherd, his famous icon, when I'm describing each character. And you will see whether these 10 characters could fit the relationship of the Good Shepherd with his own. And after that, we apply it to ourselves. So the topic of tonight could be about parenting skills or family relationship. As all of you know, I don't like to just give pure scientific material. It has to be totally immersed in a spiritual background, because this is our life. I will list the 10 characters first. And you could write if you like to write, but it will be recorded for all of you. The first character is the unconditional acceptance. The second character is availability. And in availability, we will discuss time and involvement. Some of us are just present physically, but they are not involved. This is not availability. And third character, security, safety and security. The fourth character, consistent expression of love and compassion. Consistent. And number five is five. Number five will be character called shepherding, which is discipline. And then number six is controlled communication. What's number next?
Seven
is modeling, role modeling, or the example, qudwa. Number eight is encouragement. Number nine, understanding. And number 10, patience and hope. These are 10 characters which are so valuable in the family relationship. And if you just see these 10 characters when I was listing them, you think yourself, put yourself as a child of your mom and dad, and put yourself in your marriage with your spouse, and put yourself as a parent for your children. Sometimes the parents feel that they are giving, and the children are not perceiving that. As an example, the acceptance. Maybe you as a parent, you feel that, of course you are accepting your children. And they feel from your behavior that they are rejected. So, it's important to know your opinion about each character and the opinion of your children. Your opinion in giving this character to your spouse and the opinion of the spouse about perceiving their behavior. And since I am not sure whether your parents are still there or not, I would say about your perception about these characters taken from your parents. So you find five items in each character in the questionnaire. Number one, unconditional acceptance. Do you think the Good Shepherd, God, is unconditionally accepting us, irrespective of our sins or bad behavior or bad attitude? Please think seriously. And don't just jump into an answer with some impulsivity because you have read that in a book, or you see that theologically it has to be right. Just think, do you really believe, inside you that the Lord Jesus Christ is accepting you in particular, irrespective of your behavior and sins? He's always opening his arms for each one of you, telling you, my beloved one, my son, my daughter, I love you, irrespective of what you are doing, sin or behavior, attitude, bad attitude. Do you really believe in that? Because if you don't believe in that, you'll not be able to give it to your children. And who, from unconditional acceptance to the parents, the spouse, and the children. I think quite minority. Quite minority. We have always our, this topic is, you know, it will go into your bones. You will feel getting inside. So each topic, think of it and feel it when I'm talking about black character. Unconditional acceptance is a godly character. You think the good shepherd is an unconditional accepting only the lamb who's carrying, and how about the tens and hundreds around his feet? Do you think the Lord Jesus Christ is preferring the one in his arm more than those who are around his feet? Do you think the Lord Jesus Christ knows that each one of those who are under his feet or around him wish to be in his arms? And he insists to say, no, that lamb only, and you have to be under my feet. For each one of us has a place in his arms. Because his arms are able to contain all of us. But this is an example of the unconditional acceptance of the weak one. And the unconditional acceptance of the one who is looking up, longing to be carried. And those who are playing around, knowing that they are accepted, even if they're playing in the mud. Unconditional acceptance of the Good Shepherd to each one of us. Think of yourself when you are committing a sin. Do you think that he's accepting you? But do you think he's accepting you or accepting your behavior? Answer me. Do you think he's accepting you or accepting also your behavior? Accepting you as a person. But he doesn't accept the sin. He loves you, but he doesn't love the sin. As we always say, he loves the sinner, but not the sin. But you are always unconditionally accepted. He will judge the sin and the bad behavior. But he loves you and accepts you as you are. Even if I am the worst sinner, he still accepts me. And this gives me what? Gives me so many kinds of feelings. Feelings of hope. Feelings of self-judgment. Feelings of who he is and who am I. Feeling God, that everybody can approach him in his holiness. And I am the sinner who is the sin now. He still loves me. And I am not in the same position when I'm not accepting my son. means committing something which I don't accept as a dead Brahman. Unconditional acceptance. How far I have felt that I am not rejected, and I was unconditionally accepted by my parents when I was a child or a teenager. Never or always or in between. Do you really unconditionally accept your spouse? Irrespective of the behavior or attitude? And if I don't, it means I'm not godly at that time. And if I really accept my spouse unconditionally, how about his or her perception that I am accepting him or her unconditionally? Your spouse, if he or she one day expressed to you that she is feeling rejected by you, ignored by you, abused by you, and if he or she can't express that, do you see in his or her eyes that she or he wants to say that and you don't care? And is that an attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd? The same applies to your children. So I'm talking about this number one, unconditional acceptance, because it's so important. You might find it in your paper, just acceptance, but it has to be unconditional acceptance. Quality number two, or kind number two, is what? Availability. The Lord Jesus Christ is available 24/7, correct? Whenever you want Him, is there. What do I mean by that? I mean, He asks the angels to stop. Because he wants to listen to my thoughts. And he wants to see my face. And he interacts with me. The Lord is involved in my life. If all the details of my life help, because He's in me, He's part of me and I'm part of Him. Actually, I am His temple and He is living in His temple. So whatever I'm doing is involved with me. I always teach our children and ourselves, I do my best and God does the rest, as if God is far away. Every action I'm doing is involved, which means He is in me, but He's not involved in the sin. He's watching over me and remind my heart, rebuke my heart, that this is not the way His temple must behave. So in what way I am involved with my spouse and my children? Availability means psycho-emotional and physical availability in time and involvement. How far we are involved in the life and the activities of our family. and how far I felt or perceived that my parents were involved in my life, present and available to me anytime I want them. The previous time, mothers most of the time were at home. But how about the dad? Working. But after his return, was he available? How did I perceive or feel that? Did I feel that he and she, my mom, were involved and available to me all the time? Or I felt not only rejected, but I felt neglected. You are unaware of me, my presence, as if I am nothing. And was this never, sometime, most of the time, or always? And what way I could be involved in the life of my family? A children was involvement. Playing with them, talking with them, communicating with them, going out with them, sitting with them on their computer, playing games with them at home. So many ways to be involved. And with the spouse is the same. The companionship is part of the involvement. Time and involvement regarding that issue. When you are looking to the eye of the Good Shepherd, you think he is involved in every life of the sheep around him? If you see anybody going out, does he care about them eating? Does he care about them fighting together? Does he care about them growing well, taking them to the green pasture, to the good water? How far is he involved? Or that both together with Jesus, okay, that Jesus is looking and showing that how much he loves that small lamb, and he is superior above the level of those who are under his feet. This icon doesn't mean that, though some of us take it this way. The iconographer can put all the lambs in his arm, close to his heart on the left side. The iconographer can put all of them on the left arm. But are you really carried by him on his left arm, close to his heart? Do you feel that? Or is it important for you to feel it? If you are in a dilemma, if you are in the depth of your depression and sadness for whatever reason, do you really feel that you are carried close to his heart and you are the preferred one? Or this is far-fetched, far away from you? Let's meditate and see. I told you, everybody is carried. Everybody is carried. Everybody is nursed. Everybody is bended on the knees. Everybody is comforted, like a mother comforting her child. He comforts us. And in Jerusalem we are comforted. Isaiah 49, 18, 16. No, I'm sorry, Isaiah 66, 12 and 13. So in the family relationship, I want you to get into the interaction between all the members. if my family is now segregated, each one on his own, it's not actually a Christian family. But this is the reality. And this is the reality. Could you do something to show our children before I leave one day to heaven that they are unconditionally accepted? And I really love to be involved with them, my quality time with them. And the third character, that is the quality of the Lord Shepherd, is, do you think any of those sheep around his sheep were playing far away from him, but in the domain, in the area of his care? Do you think any one of them feels unsafe or insecure? What do you think? Do you think any one of those sheep in the icon feels that he is insecure?
No.
So why do you feel sometimes that we are insecure? Although he is the same one in the icon. So many times. You know, in counseling, one of the commonest complaints is insecurity, feeling insecure. Because of what happened to us in our childhood. So, are we responsible about the safety and security of our spouses and our children? As if you are the pantocrator of this family, as if God gave you from his own qualities to be the one who could control the situation. But we can't. Actually, in him we can. Through him we can. How far, because of our actions and behaviors or attitudes, some of our children feel insecure. And did I feel insecure in my childhood? And at that time, was I able to relate with the shepherd? Maybe my parents, for whatever reason, they were absent, unavailable, not accepting. So many things happening in the family. I felt insecure, which means I was fearing so many things. Sometimes I terrified. I was still a child. Sometimes till now, I feel mistrusting people around me because of my insecurity. Did anyone try in my childhood to explain to me a relationship with the pantocrator, the one who could control all situations for me? And if not, when did I start knowing about that? And if I know about it, when did I start relating to that in my life? Irrespective of what my parents were doing. Please, don't think that you are alone within a family in which you feel insecure. The majority of us. But some of us are different because they were able to relate to the Pentu Creator, the Good Shepherd, was able to keep them secure in his protection. And some were unable to do that. Actually the gap between some of us and the Pentu Creator were getting wider. Some of us were getting so angry about his absence. Why he was leaving me abused? And I'm sure the majority of you were abused when you were children. Because this is common, so common. Neglected emotionally, physically, sexually. And this was horrible. Where was that Dr. Kratov we are talking about? Anybody who went through that kind of abuse, part of us is feeling insecure because of what we went through. Unless we go into Christian relationship with the Lord, intimate relationship, or Christian therapy, which will make us get into that intimate relationship. Excuse me, because I'm focusing on that area of security and safety. I'm saying so many families all over the world, in all kinds of races, all kinds of colors, all kinds of nations, this idea of security and safety is not there. Who is responsible primarily about setting safe and secure environment for the children? Who? Parents. Because they are representing the Pentu Creator. Do I blame my parents? Or I really I'm reconciled with them. Am I making the life of my spouse miserable? And he or she is feeling insecure, mostly she is feeling insecure because of my kind of abuse, which could be neglect. Unacceptance, no availability at all, absent, or really, really physical, or emotional, or sexual, or neglect, inflicting that on my spouse and my children. Did I do that? If I have done it. Did I repent? Did I say that? Did I apologize to my children or my spouse? Now, if you are the spouse who's under that kind of insecurity and fear and sometimes terror from what's happening to you, are you related to the Pentu Creator? Your heavenly groom? Are you really in that relationship with him which will give you inner security irrespective of what's happening to you out from outside? Because emotional insecurity is much more painful than believe me, physical abuse or sexual abuse. Although all kinds of abuse is accompanied by emotional part. Safe and security. Am I the reason for my children feeling insecure because of my noise? My voice is always loud, my yelling, my screaming, my violence. My stingy character of spending the money. Blaming them. Not giving the ancestors needed by my children, which is neglect, under the name of whatever kind of financial plans. Because financial control is part of the abuse which makes everybody feels insecure. If I hold money from someone knowing that he or she needs that, in order to save or invest or whatever, but I know that they need, really, really need this financial control, which you feel insecure. Number four, consistent. I didn't say, as written here, consistent love and compassion. I said consistent what? When I have said it, the quality consistent? Expression. Consistent expression of love and compassion. Why? Because some of us are really handicapped in expression. Or we think that it's a fact. Yes, I have my love inside me, and I'm really compassionate, and when it's needed, I will do actions, I don't believe in words. Nobody told you to say words, but express. Express the children who need to hear from you, I love you. Women. I don't know what's happening to women these days. Women, moms, some of them are unable to say it. Recently, a mom, a grandmother in her 70s, came to tell me, I wish to say I love you to my children, but I can't. I could say it to my grandchildren, but I can't say it to my children. Help me to say it. I told her, say it. But I can't. And she came in front of everybody up the podium to ask this question to people around me. So courageous of a woman. She felt that something is a partition between her and her children. She can't say to them, I love you. But do we have to say that? Everybody knows that I love them. If you are a parent who's 90 years old, you have to say it to your children who are 70 years old. It's not an extra fact. No, everybody needs to hear it. It's music to the ears. I mean, ears, our inner ears, our heart. Genuine love heals a lot of scars, a lot of traumas. Just have the courage to express. And if you can't, go to your children and tell them, help me to express. I want to express to you that I love you. You might say, Dad, we know, but I want to express to you. Let me help. Maybe you know better than me how to do it. Go to a spouse and tell him, I don't know why I can't say this word. You always say Jesus loves you. That's a fact. But do you perceive that He really loves you? Did you hear Him by your spiritual ears saying that? If you don't get it from Christ, you'll be unable to say it. And if you don't get it from your own parents, it will be hard for you, not impossible, to say it to your own children. And please try to say that when they are young. So you'll get used to say it if they need it. If they need to hear it when they are adults. For some time, I did not say it to some of my children. And one of them felt stressed. That person knows that I love all my children, but he was questioning why I did not say it. Then a phone call came to me saying, I miss you, Dad. I love you, Dad. I got it. That person wants me to say it to him or her. I will come. I want to see you also. And when he came, I told him, I looked at him, don't you know that I love you? No, I didn't say that. It means that I am not admitting my fault. I hugged him. When he's coming out of the door, I told him, I love you so much. And he said, I know that. And I love you too. And after that, every time he calls, say, I love you. It became a language expressed. Even Jesus himself describe himself that he is love. So when I say I love you, it means Jesus loves you. Jesus told me that to tell you that I love you. It means many things. So expression of love could be by words, could be by actions. But please say it, express it by actions and words. Consistent expression of love and compassion. Did you feel that from your parents? Does your spouse feel that? Do you really give your spouse consistent expression of love and compassion? And with your children And do they feel that you are giving them that sufficiently according to their needs? Is there anybody here who's attending now who doesn't want to feel loved? Just one. If one will see that, he needs counseling. If one will say, I don't want to be loved, there is an innate character need, innate need in us that we want to feel loved. We want to be loved. If you want it, give it. Express it. Please express it. Get it out of your system and say it. If your heart is really full of love, it will show in your words, the mouth. Feel from the remains of the heart, the mouth of the heart, the mouth of the. So, do you think that Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, consistently expresses to his sheep and his love and compassion in so different ways? A gentle touch. Do you know him by tenderness? Understand my tenderness, warmth and tenderness, a gentle touch. With warmth and tenderness, it means a lot. It could mean more than to say, I love you. You look eye to the one of your children, with your spouse, and just put your hand and touch gently with tenderness. So many are deprived of that touch in their homes. Why? What is it to them? The Lord always touching those who are in need. Always, always touching. The children, the adults, the patients, the sinners, touching them with all kind of love and tenderness and warmth. This is Jesus Christ when he was incarnate. To teach us that that gentle love is not expressed. We're hearing so much from the past. If a child from your home was feeling insecure within the child, try to express their love and compassion. And the more you show, the more insecurity will dissipate and vanish. To get out of the world completely. You could heal all scars by expressing genuine love and compassion, either to your spouse or to your children. Question. Are we responsible to express to our parents the human love and compassion? Or it is their own work to do that? Are we responsible to express to our moms? You are 60 or 65. Are you responsible to spend to your mother or father in their life? Parents, when they grow older,
needed more than children to feel loved, to feel that he had a value. And their value is mostly in their own children to express to them that how much they receive from them love, or how much they love them. If you express to your mom how much you love her, and she never expressed that to you, you are loosely inside of her something, but that poor lady will not get from her husband or her dad or mom. And the more you give her consistently, that need to be loved, she will stop expressing. You are healing her. And she is 75, you are healing her from an old son. Consistent expression of love and compassion. How about shepherding? Simply about parental skills, Christian parental skills. Shepherding. What is shepherding? Is shepherding equal discipline? Yani discipline. هل بقى عدم فراحة؟ اللغة العربية لغة قصيرة جدا. Shepherding means the right, like a shepherd, right. But is shepherding equal discipline? It includes part of a discipline. What meant by discipline? Is to beat them up? Did you ever hear that the good shepherd use the rod with the sheep? Or with the wolves? You know that he used that with the wolves. And the staff in our category is used for the sheep to correct the path, to straighten the path, to instruct them what should they do, the sand. When he put it outside the flock, or tackled it on the front and back leg, or one of his enemies, get inside. A wolf is coming here, go to this side, and they will deal with the wolf, with the rod. The rod is the cross. And the staff represents our shepherding. Shepherding means you act as a good shepherd in instructing, in correcting the path, in setting guidelines for the life of the sheep, either in the morning, the great pastor is telling them, counting them, dividing into groups, let them be involved with them, let them play, but don't allow someone to push the other guidelines. This is shepherding. One of the most valuable, rules of shepherding, listen to that. You will find this in Ezekiel 34. He commands. He cannot sleep if one sheep of the flock is outside the fold. He will go out to look for the lost one. Even if it's so difficult to find that one, you will need the 99 and go out everywhere in the wilderness, on the hills, on the mountains, in the caves, in the ditches, because he knows where is that lost sheep. He knows. Do you know where your children go? The time and the days of the darkness in a cloudy dark veil spiritually for them. Do you know where they are? What do? You will be for them? You last around them? Yes, many mothers don't sleep till the children return safely to the home, the sheep home. But maybe not everybody asks. Or maybe not everybody received the appropriate answer from the children. Shepherding. Shepherd is not in any deeper Arabic. Shepherding is a term much, much wider in meaning, as mentioned. You are sending for them away from life. You are responsible. That the wolf will not snatch any one of them. Not by your own powers, but as for his own power to help you. You pray for them. You can't do it. And in that aspect, you are adding your weak abilities to the infinite abilities of the Lord Jesus Christ in looking for the lost world. And then, as I'm going to say, so many lost ones return. Because the quality of the good shepherd is to return every lost sheep. I will send home. So it would be one flock for one shepherd. Shepherding. Are you using the rod or the staff with your children? I mean, you are wrong. Do you really use your cross, the wounds in your home, which are demons, demons of anger, demons of unholiness, demons of pride, demons of arrogance, demons of all kinds of sin? When you feel weak, you get hold of your cross and pray, "Oh Lord Jesus Christ, I don't want that particular demon to attack my children or attack my home." And insist, talking to the crucifier, tell him, through your own powers, in your own name, O Lord Jesus Christ, get that out of my house, that particular demon. Now after controlled communication, the course of communication is a very while the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told these, it doesn't reach the level of reality and scrutiny. It's mostly assertive communication. It's a violent, aggressive, or passive style of communication. Passive means you keep silent. Aggressive means aggressive. Parents get the screaming of violence. Assertive control. If the children will listen to mom and dad in the acting that kind of controlled communication, they will learn how to communicate with one another in a controlled communication. Think, when you were a child, the communication between your parents were controlled between them and you, and now between you and your spouse, you and your children, is controlled. And if it is not controlled, hearing and screaming, what's going to give the children feeling of what? Feeling of insecurity. So, controlled communication. Under controlled communication, not only the loud voice, but also what? There must be no humiliation, no cursing, no shedding, no bad words, no foul words, no bad language. And all these could be inscribed in the mind of our children. And we were limited. When in Sunday school, I remember in California, in Sunday school class, elementary, all the kids, they're born and raised in the United States, they speak mostly English. And one day, one of the kids started to curse others by a very bad language in Arabic. And the teacher told them, do you understand what you're saying? He said, no. Baba and Mama are saying this. He doesn't know. But he said, And the poor kid is just repeating, say, parroting. So controls. Control godly way of communication. And after that, the example. The role model. Do you think the Lord Jesus Christ is a role model for us? Is the good example, the best example? Of course he is. But don't you think that his role modeling convicts me? Convicts me about my modeling to my children and my behavior? What did I see in my original home? Do you think that I am a good model example in front of my spouse in dealing with him or her or with my children? They're looking up to me as the role model. Christ to the family. And Christ to the family to them. Do you think I am confusing their mind about the image of Christ or giving them a clear image of Christ? Am I an alcoholic? Am I an addict? Am I an abuser?
do I love Jesus Christ really? My behavior? Do I pray with them? Do I pray away from them? The way I behave inside my home is outside, the same as outside my home. Because they compare and see. The example. We are responsible to be good examples as He, the Lord Jesus, is a good example to His own children. Encouragement. Is it part of you that you are an encourager? Or a critical person, someone who criticizes always? Are you an encourager? Do you encourage your spouse? The self-esteem of your spouse is mainly depending on your encouragement and support. Whether your spouse is a man or a woman, the same. Your children's esteem is depending on your love expressed and your encouragement. The opposite of encouragement is discouragement and criticism. Do I encourage always? Am I an encourager? The Lord Jesus Christ encourages His disciples to go to the whole world and preach the word and baptize them in the name of the Father. And they were what? Fishermen? Don't fear. Go two by two. Go and teach the whole world what you have seen. And tell them that you'll be able to do what you have done and more. Go and teach the world. Go and teach the good word. Go and teach. He told this to His disciples. And through His disciples, empowered by him, the Holy Spirit. Now that good news reached the whole world. The whole world nearly. The whole of us are disciples. And we are responsible for that. Now, encouragement. If I am someone who always discourages, if my friends come to ask me for something, I discourage him or her. In the name of perfectionism, I discourage. Or I always criticize that many things are imperfect. Please focus and feel and notice what we are saying. You are saying others. People need to be encouraged, people need to be loved, needs to be supported, needs to be appreciated, needs to be admired, people need to be praised. They love that. Why not do it to our own? Am I an encourager? Was I, as I remember, encouraged by my parents? Or discouraged? Or criticized? Spouse, children, the five questions. Then I will go to understanding. Understanding. In the United States, we always say that. What's the most common phrase you hear from your own children? I say this everywhere. What's the most common phrase and sentence you hear from your own children? Especially the teenager. Say, you don't understand. You don't understand, it's so common to be said. You don't understand. وَأَنَا أَفَوَّتْهَا يَعْنِ مَا عَيِّنَا. No, we really, we don't understand what's going on inside the life. inside their lives, there are so many things going on. Do you really understand? And if I don't understand, yes, I will read books. Okay. I will listen to presentations. Yes. But who could give me the full understanding? Who could give me the full understanding of my spouse, the man said, who? Yes, the Holy Spirit, the life giver, who is living inside you and me. Ask Him. Give me the understanding. Because He promised that He will let us understand. He will teach us and remind us with whatever is being told. And be with us everywhere. Tell the Lord, you promised that your Holy Spirit will teach me understanding. Give me from your wisdom to understand others, whether at work or in your family. Do you pray to the Holy Spirit? Do you used to do that? Because we are approaching with something. After tomorrow, what is that something for? The Pentecost. In which what happened? The Holy Spirit came about the disciples and those who were there. And they were promised. Power came. After that, they started to go and preach with certain power. If you need that power to be filled more with the Holy Spirit, pray for that. Ask Him, as you gave your disciples, give me. Because I am lacking them. I need them. Well, you'll be close to that something. Understanding. There's no one except God who really understands others. I don't understand my spouse. I don't understand my children. I don't understand everybody 100%. I can't. He's the only one. But if He wants to give me that understanding, He could give some of you certain qualities you could see what nobody could see. He's not giving that only to saints, but to give some of you even understanding and to see in others which you are unable to see before. And at that time, you'll be more understanding to your children and to your parents and to your spouse. The last one, that's patience and hope. We know that love is patient and kind. Should it happen at the end of that? Love is patient and kind. How about patience with our children? And hope in them that whatever they are in, God could change them. About hope in my spouse, in our spouses, that God could change them to better, irrespective of what they want. It's happening in our life daily, only because of prayer. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope in anybody. Because if you lose hope, this means you are not in connection with God within you. If you are really in touch with God, well, don't lose hope. Because God doesn't lose hope in anybody. till the last moment before departure, he has copied everybody. And through prayers, interceding with the Lord Jesus Christ and His power, with the saints who are praying for us, interceding that God please help that person change in my children or my spouse or my mom or my dad or my friends, whatever. If you persist knocking on the door of his heart, he will listen. He's actually, sometimes, he's very patient. He wants to see whether I'm persistent or not. I have the hope that he will come walking in the water. He will come at any time. Continue to do that. What the effect of patience and hope on you, if you have it, you will feel so peaceful because you are waiting for the Lord to come. And He promised that He will come to change my children and change my spouse. I'm sure you have tons of stories about this. But I'm also sure that at the last time, in the cloudy, dark days of our spiritual life, we lose hope. And when God shows by His light enlightenment in our mind and hearts, we regain this virtue, hope. Be patient with your own children. Be patient with your spouses. Pray consistently. Insist. Persist and insist on God that He should work. And God listen. God listen to you. These are 10 qualities, 10 characters of good parenting. And you have with you a questionnaire where you will have. Please make a copy for yourself before you fail it. I wish if you return to me a filled one on Sunday without names and keep one with you. And every 6 months, bring another copy and fill it. Make hundreds of copies, distribute everywhere. See how people could see themselves in the life of the Good Shepherd. And you have another questionnaire about questions about parenting, intricate questions. About parenting, what do you really do with your own children? The first question about family relationship with your previous family, with your spouse and his own children. But the other questionnaire with the same style, which means from never to always, and in between, from 0 to 4. Add the numbers. It will be out of 200 in case of good shepherding, in case of the 10 character, out of 200. And if you take less than 50, of course, this is so bad. You have to read the word for yourself. 150 and up is excellent. Pray that God will keep you this way. And you'll see that written. Okay. God bless you. And bless me. So we'll be able to reflect to others the Good Shepherd in the old ones. Any question?
In this busy modern life, how can we be available to Ruchin?
Yes, time is so precious. And yes, in this busy life, we are so lucky that we are better than those who are in Egypt now, living in Egypt now. Believe me, we have more leisure time than those who are living in Egypt. And if we are overworked, 120 hours a week, this is not the usual life. It could be 1 year in your life, 2 years, but you can't continue working 120 hours a week. The usual hours is 40 hours to 60 maximum a week. You know how much, according to Harvard research, how much time do you give weekly to our children in quality communication? How much time do we give to our children weekly quality communication? Less than 7 minutes a week. Quality communication. Yeah, are you not going to have half an hour a week? Even if you are most busiest man, you will have half an hour. 1 hour a week divided. But the routines in which we are living in have told us, I'm busy. So day after day after day after day we go without talking at all or communicating or involved with our children. And I'm talking about the children who are still at your home, not the married ones. Although the married ones also you could be involved with them. But those, especially younger generation, especially in the first 6 years of their life, in which personality 80% 85% is formed in the first 6 years of life. 4 to 6, they need to answer them all kinds of questions in the whole world. Who would answer to them? So in this busy world, Isa would give more than 7 minutes a week. If you set a tarpeen in a bay when a couple will come complaining that marital relationship is getting withered, I tell them, please, would you have 1 hour a day, each day, for interaction and communication? And you promise, and the majority don't do it. I ask them, is it available for you 1 hour a day? Say yes. And they promise, and they don't do it. Why? Because they put in themselves the perception, I am busy. Do you watch sports on the TV? Yes or no? Do you watch cooking channel? Yeah, you have time for cooking channels, folks. God bless you. If you want to have time, you'll find time.
We are trying. We are trying with all ways to control bad behavior in our children. And they do not listen to any advice that can be given.
No, this is.
they don't listen to any advice.
You know why they don't listen? You know why our children don't listen to us? Because they are fed up of lectures. How about modeling? How about modeling and prayer? How about modeling and consistent expression of love and compassion? How about the relationship between the two spouses? When you get your children from God, when you receive them from God, were you like that? Were they like that? At least, don't blame the environment. Don't blame only the TV. Don't blame the computer. Because we are the one who control the TV and the computer in our homes. And why kids get from outside bad behavior? Because mostly there is a crack in the relationship at home. Good families which are really bonded around the Lord Jesus Christ, in a Christian family, Haiti, it's hard to find one of the kids with bad behavior. But if you are a perfectionist, sometimes you regard normal kids' behavior as bad behavior, or normal teenage behavior as bad behavior. It's something relative. And you have to know what's normally happening each age, understanding. But bad behavior of kids or adolescents never corrected by lectures or by yelling or screaming. It's corrected by good example for the two parents. It's corrected through prayers of the parents. It's corrected through patience and hope. List these 10 characters. If you try to learn about these, apply it to yourself, see what the Lord will do with you about their bad behavior. I assure you, it will help more than yelling and screaming and depriving them from allowances and privileges because of their bad behavior. Positive reinforcement is far better than negative reinforcement. You understand?
My spouse is not convinced that he does need to say, I love you. He says, I don't say that because I'm not romantic. I don't need to do that.
Someone is admitting that he doesn't have to say I love you because it's not romantic. Let's just another rabbi who will tell you how you had a rabbi, yani. This husband was saying I'm not romantic. How he could define romance? Affection is so different than romance. Men, affection is different than romance. You could be affectionate, but not romantic. And you could be both. So that particular husband doesn't understand. And for him, if he is Christian, a believer of the Bible, a believer of what the Holy Spirit says through his prophets and apostles, I refer that good husband who is a good Christian, but maybe we are saying shwaya here. I refer to 1 Corinthians 7:3. Husband, render to your wife a affection due her. Husband, render to your wife affection due her. Likewise, wife to your husband. يُفر الرب المرأة حقها الواجب جزا مرأة الرب أيضا بالعربي مش باينة بالإنجليزي اسمها affection. And what's affection? Expressed love, the love of the feeling, the مشاعر, which is the least of it to say I love you. The least of it is to feel for the needs, for the emotional needs of your spouse. The least of it is to be tender in your touches and warm in the way you speak to her. You have to contain your wife emotionally. This affection, other hugs and kisses, all that affection is expression of the love of feelings expressed in a language. The lady in the cushion is crying to hear from her husband, I love you. They will see me. I'm trying to take the radio letter. Satan will send her someone from outside who has hidden agenda to tell her I love you. Has hidden wicked agenda. يعني let her go and tell him this is a biblical commandment to express to me affection. It's a biblical commandment. It has nothing to do whether you're romantic or not. Affection is a biblical commandment. And if really you're a good Christian, you will say amen. Amen on that. And you have to start applying it with the help either of one of those friends who would help you or a woman, if a woman is romantic or affectionate. Or at least a woman will tell you how to do that. Review that tape and you will understand what I said before about it.
Can I say a question myself? Are you yourself romantic? I think if the wife is romantic, then the husband will be as well. If he is not romantic, he teaches her to be romantic. I think If you stay يعني waiting for him to be romantic, you will stay long. You show him and you teach him how to be romantic. I don't know what Dr. Nabil would do.
Abuna, definition of romance different from my lady's another. One lady likes candles, soft music, a certain scent in the air of the house, bubble baths, somewhere romantic at home. And some of them are so romantic outside their home. They love to walk in a certain way. He loves to put their hair a certain way, and he praises them, and go to certain restaurant where they would have a dinner on candlelight with soft music. Some of them like to dance with their own husbands on certain soft kind of music. Some of them walk on the beach. We have beach here. Do we have beach here in Birmingham? Imagine that. Romance is different from a date to another. That's why I want to say you have to teach him your own definition of romance. But not every woman defines romance in the same way. And I define romance my own way. We could romance Jesus Christ in his creation. Sheikh Rouhani, St. John Sandler, was a very affectionate and romantic person with Jesus Christ. He was always meditating about the trees, the grass, the clouds, the air, the mountain, the sand, the flowers. He was romantic, the creator in his creation. He's always in that kind of meditation. So some like romance to be inside their home. And some prefer romance to be outside their home. But I'm saying you could romance, you lady, you could romance your heavenly groom. Believe me, you could romance your heavenly groom if your husband is impotent regarding romance. If your husband is handicapped, don't wait to be deprived and thirsty. You can do it. In meditation with Jesus Christ. Go outside and look to the nature. I know that you can have bottom gamete, which can and the colors of the trees. You have this? And look in spring? You don't have in the Birmingham any type of flowering of the trees and the and colors, changing colors, blooming.
That shows how optimistic they are.
You don't have colors? طيب. حطوا صور صورة طيب عليها. بص يا شوف بص الشيخ الروحاني الجو سابع كان يبص الطوبة طوبة صخر جنبه يقول الله شوفوا جيسوس كريست عمل لي ايه ماونتن رمله اي حاجه زرعه جت الصبار نخله شاف اي حاجه
هسبند
اتكلم ليديز with your heavenly groom so don't put all your hope on your earthly groom regarding romance. And believe me, if you are really fulfilled and satisfied with your heavenly groom regarding that, go walk on the lake. Snow. The snow. Can you look snow at the reason? But is this for snow? No, I'm saying snow, yeah. You could meditate about rains. في بعستكنا يموت يشكر الرين. The Venus is now so the rain the second to relax them. And people sometimes fear the rain. The rain is a gift of God. See, some people like the thunder. In lightning, you know, rad and bad, والمطر تنزل يفرحين خالص.
الكنيسة always gloomy. أبي gloomy يعني يعني تشريك كده سواء في رعد أو برد أو شمس أو مطر أو أي حاجة. ف be open to nature. Any kind of nature. The touch of Jesus on it. فاكرين اليوم حد الشعبين؟ ما بين قال ايه؟ لو سكت الاطفال يحصل ايه؟ هيخلي ايه اللي ينطق؟ الحجارة. الحجارة تنطق. تبقى لو تبص الحجر ده وتتأمل هي الحجر ده شيب لايت مش عارف ايه؟ الشجرة المغطية دي بنبات يعني في شجرة ايه؟ بنعمل كده بيسميها just like a mother bending on her son. تاني بص للكلاود يقول يا الكلاود دي شكل ايه؟ لو انت عندك فعلا if you are really a romantic lady you could involve yourself with the creator in whatever has done in nature and be so fulfilled and you notice your husband to change. ربنا يديك يدينا كلنا ان احنا بقى كده زي القديسين يتأملوا في اي حاجة حواليهم حلو.
Should I leave my children to do the wrong to keep my good relationship with them? I cannot see them doing the wrong, which can be serious, and stay quiet. Sometimes I have to say no, even if they don't want it, and force them to do it. Later on, they will understand. What do you advise?
It's correct. I didn't say false, and I'm sorry if anybody is understanding, but I really want to review what I said. I have never said stop teaching them. But I'm saying the way of teaching is not by lectures. Not by lectures. A big lecture, I mean. Yeah, you sit for 1 hour, 10 hours, something. Different than instruction. Different than setting guidelines. You and I are responsible for parenting, Nirabhi. About Christian parenting our children. Don't yell, don't scream. Don't try to use punishment without understanding. And punishment is always by taking some privilege, not by physical corporal punishment. And don't force them to do the goodness without explaining to them why it's good. Because when they will grow up, and you will force to do the goodness, not understanding it, what's behind it, they will leave it. As some of you are saying, we force our kids to wear shamas, and when they sit in here, they refuse to complete from the church. But I did not spend with them enough time to see me and see their dad going to the church and the philosophy of being with God, and how God is helping us in our family, and God with God and our family are nothing. يعني في حدش فينا أبدا بيعمل الوقت الكفاية. تيجي الولد بعد سن معين يقول ماما عليش الماس عليش الماس عليش الماس. هو مش فاهم ولا حافظ ولا عارف حاجة. وبعضهم يبقوا حافظين. They know exactly the hymns. They could lead a choir of deacons. At a certain age, you see what skins. For those I'm saying they were there. If you tell them and explain to them what's behind the behavior, what's underlying the behavior. So I was talking about violence and punishment, lecturing, not instruction. But what was said here is good and right. Based on explaining to them. And of course, if you train a child
in the way he should be. He will not depart from it, even when we get old. رب الولد في طريقه وما تشاء لاحيل عنه لاحيل عنه. الكلام ده بيكسبلين ادي وكل and every child has his own way, all the same. So I have to know the way in particular for that particular child in which I could parenting him to be a godly son or daughter. It's the way. And when he will get old, he will not depart from it. Inscribe the way.
The difference between two cultures make the understanding too difficult between parents. What about our children? If they want to get married to a different culture,
do I understand that the one who said that question is against his or her own children to marry from another country?
He's complaining for himself first that it is
difficult. There was always a cultural gap between generations. Then when culture changes from generation to generation, even Egypt. Yeah, go now to Egypt. If you don't go to Egypt, say for 20 years, go now, you will see yourself a stranger. Egypt is different, totally, than 5, 10 years, 20 years ago. If you were away from Egypt for 30 years, go now and see. You don't understand even the language. Arabic, Hamad. But culture is changing in the same country. So, what cultures in different countries? Yes, there's always a transgenerational gap in culture and understanding certain issues. We try to bridge this gap, but we can't. We can't stop the gap. This was a gap. You were different than your dad in certain aspects of understanding the culture. And I go to Egypt twice nearly a year, yearly. I don't understand so many things in Egypt. As I would explain to you, please, the meaning of these words. Words we need to talk about Arab. Should I be done? But I'm not sure we did. وحاجات كتير بتختلف. فريجاردنج الكالتشر جاب يس ذير از كالتشر جاب. بس ريسبكت بين ذا ديفرنت جينيريشن از سمثينج ايلس. إف ماي تشايلد سبيك ذا لانجويج بيتر ذان مي وود أندرستاند ذا كالتشر أوف ذيس كونتري بيتر ذان مي. It doesn't mean that he disrespects my experience in life as his dad or his mom. Respect is something different. And I always, always give the example of Joseph. Joseph, when his dad came with his brothers, and the dad is a shepherd, smells like sheep, and was blind, dressed in the farmer's clothes, smell like sheep, blind, doesn't know the language of the Egyptian. who did arrive to Egypt on the quest of Joseph, who was the second man in Egypt at that time. He was so proud of his dad. He took his dad by hand and went to Pharaoh and he told him, "This is my dad." He was not ashamed of his dad. He doesn't understand the culture, or speak the language, or smells bad, or dressed in a clothes different than the Egyptian. He was respected and he was proud of his roots. This is what our children are missing. And if they see us respecting our roots in Egypt, respecting our original families in Egypt, they will get an example. But if you always see bad words about Egypt, about the Egyptian, about those who are living there, they will have the courage to disrespect me. So about respect, not the culture again. About marriage from different cultures, of different race, or different people with different language. It adds more to the difficulty of the marriage. Yet in marriage, we have differences in the way we raise, difference in gender, character, different in the way we're parenting style, different in personality, different in social status, difference in habits, difference in rules in the families, difference in the level of sociability, difference in so many things. Are in the same culture. How about taking someone from a different culture, different race, different language, different religion, different denomination, of course totally different culture than the way they are parented or understanding. It adds, I'm not saying it's impossible, but it adds more to the difficulty and the chances of conflicts in marriage. But I know couples with different background, married in the Coptic Orthodox Church, and they're very good couples. Actually, maybe I wanna agree about that. The partner who came from outside the church attends more the church than the one who was born in it. I love the church more than the one who was born in it. So not all the exams are negative, but we have to study the chances of conflicts and be ready for it before we get into that type of marriage.
How can I make my child to feel the love of Jesus and to love to pray and to talk to God?
When we give parenting, teach our parenting, we teach about seven kinds of development at each age, and one of those development, like physical development, spiritual development, mental, intellectual development, emotional development, psychological development, social development, moral development, sexual development, about different kinds of development. So spiritual development, it starts when the baby is one day old. The way I sing to him, the way I hold him when I come to the church, the way he smells the incense and see a wound on the beard and the censer. I mean, it starts very early. And the more the baby grows, introduced to the icons, they're introduced to prayer. So I don't start teaching my own children when they are adolescent. When they are 1 year old, when I put for them a recording for hymns or tasbihah, they are get tuned. Or I could fill them with a TV so loud, with all kinds of rock, heavy rock music and heavy metal and other kinds of music type waves, or even Dorian, the air song. So his ears will get tuned to that. Loud. Mamra, teenager, Turkish angel, very young. College students, when I feel so stressed, I go to a bar. And I hear so loud music. Loud music piercing my eardrum, calm me down. So different than what you think. What's calming him down is the loud, noisy music. And some of you, if you only calm down, hear soft music with very, very low tone, you feel calm. So it's different. The way you were raised. That boy, when he was young, his dad always put the TV very loud. تعود في اسم عارفين واحد مروق قبل القطر قطر ماشي بيته قبل القطر مش هتقوم بعد ذلك مولود طول النهار قطر ماشي قطران واحد تاني مولود جنب ايه؟ جنب مثلا جرعة جنب ليه جنب بحر دي هادي خالص فاللي بينام ده يحس القطر لو حضرتك هادي ما نامش مش هيجيله نوم والشخص اللي قاعد ده في حته very calm less noisy get to a noisy place he can sleep so it depends on the way you were raised so teach your children when you were young how to listen to soft music او hymns واكبر معاهم يبقى معاهم بالتدريج كده لغاية لما when they reach pre-adolescent talk about theology you can't talk with a child 4 years old about crucifixion or salvation you can't talk about that sanctification justification if they say about a child 4 or 6 years old we can't pre-adolescent adolescents when their mind could grasp certain meaning because people start speaking. So we build spiritual facts. أهمها the love of Jesus Christ. Then Jesus is able to do all things to you. Make the connection. He doesn't see Jesus except in an icon. Mama Rabbi is an icon. Make the connection of their presence. But he doesn't understand that God is a spirit. He doesn't understand that. Depending on his age, he wants to see everything inside him. It's not in front of him. But according to certain age, his spiritual development, I understand what to do with him. When he reaches certain age, we teach him routines. Routines, يعني we pray with them to go to sleep. We read some of the Bible story for them to sleep. It will become a routine in their life. You have to do it. Like brushing teeth. If you don't brush your teeth, you feel something is wrong. You're going to sleep. The same regarding a spiritual aspect of their life.
Do the children follow their parents' pattern in their future life? Does parent and parent relationship affect their children?
The parents' relationship affect their children, yes. Follow them in the future life and understand that. Not every, if parents are spiritual, and there with God, usually parents and children will follow their footsteps. But not in careers, not necessarily in careers. Unless they are convinced that the career of my dad has a good career, I'm going to follow. Yeah, I see in certain families, the man is a Republican, the wife is a Democrat, and children, they choose whatever they like. But if a man is only wearing a tie, when you come to the church, you will see after some time the son is going to wear a tie. Because he respects the church in a certain way. Not even then he can want to do. They follow the footsteps of their parents in morals, in certain ethics, and spirituality. These are general outline, a roadmap, but not in everything. And God bless the parents who have good relationship with one another and a good example in front of their own children. Because the best way of parenting is to present and give your children a successful Christian marriage.
My son is having a relationship with a girl friend. I can't stop him. What should be my attitude? What can I do? My son is having a relationship with a girlfriend. I can't stop him. What I can do?
Do you mean he's having sex with her? A girlfriend or a female friend? You have to make a difference.
My son to a girlfriend. So it is a boy and a girl.
I'm saying, is she a girlfriend or a female friend to the son? Because some of us will say about female friends to our own sons that they are girlfriends. Girlfriend, as all of you know, is kept to a certain behaviors. If your son is sexually active with a girl, what to do? If the question is at that level,
yes,
it's at that level. I don't know what was the spiritual development of that young man when he was 2 years old, when he was old till he became a teenager or a college student or graduate. But just in case, if he was raised right spiritually, and this is something outside his nature, prayer, prayer, prayer could return any son to repentance. Tears of a mother and the father praying for the young son. Group prayer for the sake of a son could return him back if he were raised the right way in God. But no elections. You could talk with them wisely, or could let others talk with them, which usually others could be more of influence on your children more than you. But if he is not accepting anyone to talk to him, the only way is prayer and put their name on the altar and ask people to pray. So many will pray, and I'm sure, because I know God works, if he was raised a spiritual way, like what I was describing. It's not the end of the world. And repentance is so easy. And if you will repent, God will accept that repentance. And God loves him. And he wants him to be get cleansed. So we pray that the morals we taught him will get him back. And the Holy Spirit which is inside him would convict him. And would send his guardian angel to remind him, we intercede with all whom we know to work with him, and they return if he is raised a spiritual way, the right way.
I have doubts that my child takes drugs. I have some clues. I found few things to say so, but he denies it. He doesn't feel that he needs help. How can we deal with him?
If you are doubting, different than you are sure that your son is taking drugs. With all signs of, you have to read about that, but with, if there are any signs which are showing on him or in his room that he is taking certain drugs. You know, drugs is addictive. He's a patient, and he will not admit to ask help unless he's cornered by proofs. Don't waste your time by talking with him. Gather data and information to prove from friends, from those who are around him, from his room, from his notes, from whatever you find in his school bag. Find any proofs and then go and ask a doctor who is specialist in addiction. Because that session, the family meeting, is one of the most important. Corner that son between those whom he loves, friends, marriage, dad, mom, brothers, sisters, relatives, and everyone with a proof that he is taking drugs. At the end of the session, usually he yields and admits. The question, you need to be helped. And you'll be ready when asking the doctor what way could help him. I mean, the hospital with the detox, how much it would cause in the rehab, I'm taking. And every year we talk about addiction. And some of those who are there are addicts. God touches their heart. And go after that and go to detox and rehab. And become prepared to be good people. So, if someone, I'm sure that he's taking drugs. If I'm not sure, let me be casual urine exam. For checkup, after the sight in his eye, his behavior, dropping grades, his friends, anything I find in the room, we get that. We have proofs. But when you decide that the moment came to face him and confront him, everybody who has proof must be there. And you will see that everybody is taking proof that he is. Usually, he will admit. They get in the air, now if you help, we have such and such and such. And pray that God will use them. But this is usually the way. If you read about the addiction, they'll tell you that this is the way.
My children repent and repeat themselves, repent and repeat themselves. And it is a continuous circle of repentance and repetition. What do you think?
If he really repents, it's not about the children, a teenager. You did not see them when they become 40 or 50 years old. if he inside him was ready to repent, don't expect at that age that he will never get close again to that sin, particular sin. Especially these are sins of unholiness, Adam and Palace. Because it's so powerful. And we know that monks are tempted for years and tens of years by demons of adultery. So temptation doesn't mean that he will fall in it. And if he will fall and then got up and repent, what's wrong about that? God wants us in our spiritual fight, gather Ruhi, seeing us going up. He doesn't tell how many times I fell down, but he tells my persistence to go up or repent. This is God, the merciful God, which there are mommy. And usually, if he's really repenting, one day, get the wisdom, God will allow him to get away from that simple behavior.
Any wants to ask any more questions?
Thank you.
I think we have a very timely day for Dr. Naveel. Thank you very much, Dr. Naveel, and we are really grateful for the issue of parenting, and we should be continuing the issue of parenting on Sunday. Tomorrow we will have a whole day for our youth about marriage, preparing for marriage, and knowing the different personalities and how can we match both. So it is important for parents and the youth as well. We are starting tomorrow from 8 to 10 as a holy liturgy, and then we will have great breakfast, and we should be starting our sessions straight after breakfast. Yeah, and between 10:30 and 11, we will just start on the
That's a good one. Something we should probably want to discuss.
On Sunday, we should be continuing the issue of parenting. Which topic you wanted to be discussed on Sunday? Do you have any special thing in your mind? Okay, please write your suggestions, yes, and we will pass it to Dr. Naveel. Thank you very much, Dr. Naveel. We ask Dr. Naveel to pray for us. The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
O Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, you are teaching us by your example, by your love, by your consistency in showing us the way, by keeping us secure in you, by taking out the fear by your love. We thank you, Lord, that your arms are open always for us and we have a place always in you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, which could ignite our hearts to talk to you and meditate with you and romance you and love you. We thank you, Lord, that you are always close to listen to us and not the opposite. Open our hearts and senses to listen to your voice inside us. We thank you, Lord, for this gathering tonight and for your voice to the heart and mind of each one of us. Thank you for teaching me. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, which is able to teach each one of us after we leave. Inscribe your words, engrave your words in our hearts and minds, so be always with you and waiting for you. O Lord Jesus Christ, take despair from the heart and mind of any parents and instill your hope in us. Whenever you are there, there is always light. We thank you for your guardian angels. We thank you for your love, which your holy love and joy, which you have set inside our heart. Let us enjoy your love, your peace and joy. Let us enjoy your presence. Enjoy your Holy Spirit. Enjoy the fellowship with one another around you. O Holy Father, O Holy Son, O Holy Spirit, set the fire inside our hearts, so we could love you and you make our families holy.
Hear us, Lord, through the prayers of all your saints and Saint Mary, when we both submit ourselves to you and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive to those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, come in the kingdom, power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The love of God the Father, the grace of His only begotten Son, and the gift of His Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you all, and we count in peace.